Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey guys, we're here with the Hollywood Life podcast, and we have a wonderful guest today, and so timely because she is the star of one of our very favorite shows that is dropping on Netflix the entire season, and it's the final season. We have Alicia Reiner of Orange is the New Black. Welcome.
Yay, and congratulations on just incredible few years.
Seven seasons.
I can't believe it's been 7 years.
I can't either.
Oh my gosh.
I have a 10-year-old, and when we started, she was 2.5. She learned the word badass way too early.
Oh. Hey, that's not a bad thing, especially in reference to badass women.
Exactly.
Yeah. And her mom.
That's right. That's right.
That is really funny. Well, and when you put it that way, the fact that she was just 2.5 and now she's 10.
Oh my gosh.
Like, it really puts the years in perspective. But I mean, you haven't aged. You look more beautiful.
You seriously do.
Like, seriously.
Thank you. I take that as a huge compliment because I really try and take care of myself and eat well and exercise and all that good stuff and try not to do anything.
Well, it's working.
Good.
It's working.
Give me your secret.
Yeah.
And I love face oil. I'm all about face oil.
What kind of face oil?
Here's the truth. When you're an actor, people send you stuff. Mm. My favorite line right now is Drunk Elephant.
Yeah. That's so funny. Love Drunk Elephant. The Virgin Marula.
Yes. I every night. I love Wander Cosmetics, and they have a really nice oil that goes under makeup. So I'm a little obsessed with face oils in general, and I love Drunk Elephant's vitamin C serum underneath. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's supposed to be really good for, isn't it, for building up collagen like turning over cells.
I will try any natural product. I will try to do.
Give the glow.
Yeah.
I think reading at one point that Jennifer Aniston, somebody like that, like, wears Vaseline all over their face before they go to bed every night. And you know what? That's like oil. It's a heavy moisturizer. Yeah.
And it's natural.
I actually remember reading somewhere that creme de la mer and Vaseline aren't that different.
Except for the price tag.
That's right, Bonnie.
Exactly.
Well, it's working. And what I love about your character, Fig, on the series is how much she has grown and developed. And like, I wouldn't have even called her a badass at the start. She was just bad. Like, she seemed like,
she was mean
and didn't seem to have any empathy. But she really developed as a character through the seasons in a way I never could have predicted. I don't know if you could have predicted.
You've got a big new
role with her this season.
It's fascinating to me because, look, it started with 3 lines. I had no idea what it was going to be. I auditioned to play Alex, and then I auditioned to play Polly, her best friend. And then they offered me these 3 lines. And it was the assistant to the warden, not even the assistant warden. And the journey she has taken as a woman work-wise, from assistant to the warden, to assistant warden, to warden, to being fired, to being warden again, and then this season to being warden of ICE has been an
warden
incredible,
of ICE.
Yeah.
Wow. That's very topical.
Yeah. So
now that is bad. That is seriously badass.
Yeah. This season I am so deeply, deeply impressed with Netflix and with Gen G for going there and being the first show that I know of that actually really goes there, and we really go there. And when we were shooting the stuff that takes place at ICE, our writers shared with us, they did a lot of research, they visited facilities, and they said, we're watering this down. Like, it is worse than what you're seeing.
And oh, yeah. Well, look what we've seen at the border from the ICE facilities. It's horrible.
I was there last week. Yeah. Last week, I went to a shelter on the border in San Diego.
Yes, I saw that on your Twitter feed.
Jewish Family Services, which... these are the lucky ones that actually do get through the process and
are released.
And are released temporarily.
Right.
Like, they're not...
until someone comes and knocks on their door in the middle of...
And they... ICE brings a busload, at least one busload, every single night to this facility. And they come with nothing.
Right.
So what we did at the shelter is we... the shelter provides them with a bed, they provide them with a hot meal, they provide them with a set of clothing, and then there's also toys, and there's, you know, a lot of supplies and services.
And what do they do for them? These are the migrants that have been released, at least until their cases are pending. So they give them an overnight and food, clothes.
Yeah, well, the government doesn't do that.
No,
the
I know. They do not.
Volunteers.
And
right.
says... you know, here's a bus ticket to get to wherever you are saying your family is. And some people don't have families. So one way that people can volunteer actually is to volunteer to be a family, that people can say, this is where I'm going to. There's so many other ways to be of service, by the way, like as long as we're having this conversation, Jewish Family Services of San Diego is a great place if you're looking for places to donate. There's also Kind, supportkind.org, Kind, which stands for Kids in Need of Defense.
So K-I-N-D-S.
Yep. And then, K-I-N-D,
D.
Kind, yeah, okay. supportkind.org. And then I work with an organization called Action Potluck here in New York City, which is a small grassroots organization that helps communities, like small communities, little pods of people, connect with a sanctuary near them where the sanctuary can actually adopt a family because we're a sanctuary city here in New York City. So you and a group of people can adopt a family and help them get back on their feet. There's also, I went to the border with an amazing organization called This Is About Humanity. Mm-hmm. And what they do is they help educate people and bring people to the border. And also, they're a great fundraising tool for people who are just coming through and in detention.
I have a question for, you know, either of you. Mm. The people that are coming through over the border, are they coming? Do they know what is here? Like, do they know that this is what they're going through?
Same question. And I said, why are they doing this? I have two answers for you. And I'm going to try not to cry.
Yeah.
One of the answers, having heard the story of the woman, like, we sat down with a family who came across the border, and she came across because even as scary as our system is at the moment, it was that or pretty much death. Mm-hmm. You know, she has a beautiful young daughter, my daughter's age, who got a scholarship to a really beautiful, fancy private school.
And, where?
She was living in Mexico, and some gangs came and said, you have enough money for that school, you have to pay us. And she said that, you know, she's on scholarship, we don't have that money. And they said, you find that money or we're kidnapping your child.
How much money did they ask for?
$10,000.
Wow.
And then she said, I can't find that money. And they said, well, then your husband's going to have to be part of this. You know, we're either going to kill your husband or he has to be part of our gang. He has to. So they were so trapped. They came across. So that's like, you hear stories like that all the time. You hear of women who have been raped. You hear of so many reasons why people come. It is worse than, it has
than
to be
sitting
so
in an
bad.
Ice
it has
facility.
To be so bad for you to leave all your home, for you to leave your family, for you to leave your friends. It has to be so bad.
Life or death situations.
Yeah, correct. And that's why they call it asylum. The other piece of it that's really important to talk about is there's a belief that with our current administration, it may end and that people won't be able to come over ever again.
Right.
So it's like,
which
now
is, of course,
never.
What he's the president is trying to do.
Correct.
Is to
correct.
Completely close
so
the border.
Actually, what's happening is more people are coming because it's like now or never. Like, right. Oh, this, you know, I'm in a horrible situation. This is my last chance.
Right. So it's the unintended consequence of all of his rhetoric and everything that he's
correct.
Doing is actually making it worse because
correct.
People are afraid that if they don't come now, it'll be never.
Right.
I have to point out to our listeners that, you know, these are life and death situations, I think, for most of these people to have mm-hmm. taken this kind of risk. And we must remember the Holocaust was not
totally,
that long
totally,
ago.
Totally.
And what happened to the Jews, the gypsies, all kinds of people at that time is that they were in the same life or death situation mm-hmm. and hundreds of thousands of them tried to escape and were turned back by our country
correct.
And by other countries and were not allowed in. And they went back and they were killed in the death camps.
Yeah.
And so we must remember that this happens in our lifetimes
I
of
think
people we know.
One of the things that is scariest about this moment in our country and one of the reasons I'm most proud to be part of Orange is the New Black and part of this conversation through art and using it as a vessel for change is that the Holocaust was recent enough. And
yes.
And what we are doing is not dissimilar. You know, mm-hmm. it is what we are doing is deeply inhumane.
Yes.
Children are dying on our watch. Like
no, under our supervision because of our cruelty.
And it is heartbreaking as an American. And I am looking to do everything I possibly can. You know, we were talking about ways we can contribute. Additionally, if I meet any lawyer ever, I say, would you please consider taking a pro bono case? Like, mm-hmm. All of these people need, you know, the ones
right.
who do get through and the ones who are in detention both need lawyers. And
yes.
we also need translators because so many people in detention centers cannot speak the language. And you'll see that a little bit in this season.
Right. And listen, we have to remember we are a country of immigrants and refugees.
Mm-hmm.
And Stephen Miller, who is one of the architects of Donald Trump's immigration policy or you know, terror.
Yeah.
His uncle was actually on TV the other night. His family, like his grandparent or great-grandfather, it was escaping Russia pogroms, which were like riots mm-hmm. killing Jews. And he comes from a family that had to escape a life or death situation. That's why he is here.
Yeah.
And yet he's turned his back on those who've come
imagine.
Behind him. And this is all of us. Like, unless you're Native American or you were brought over as a slave.
It makes no sense to me. It makes
immigrants
no
and
sense
all,
to me.
Or refugees.
Yeah.
All of us.
Yeah. That's
so
this country.
It's like, there by the grace of God go I today.
Amen.
So I feel very strongly about this too.
Me too, yeah.
And I'm so glad that you are involved in this, Alicia, and that you're telling us organizations that can help. Because this is what America is supposed to be about.
Mm-hmm.
We're supposed to be that shining beacon.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that lady.
Yeah,
the Statue of Liberty, the Lady Liberty.
Yeah.
Was it purposeful of the, you know, creators of Orange is the New Black to have you as a warden of ICE? Like, was it a, you know, choice that they made in the times that we are in?
No, it's such a great question. It's And, you know, it's not a big spoiler to share that there is an ICE storyline because we saw it at the end of season 6.
Mm-hmm.
Polycon talks about it. You know, Linda unveils that crazy plan. And the other thing that I'm thrilled that they are talking about is Polycon is the industrial prison complex. And for those of you who don't know what that means the reason our country has so many prisons and so many people in prison is because it is a business.
Yes, and a business.
Yeah.
A private prison is a business.
A for-profit prison.
I read a statistic yesterday that ICE charges, the facilities charge the government $775 a day to house each person in an ICE facility. Now, that's more than a lot of hotels I see.
Oh, my God.
In,
we might as well stay at the Four Seasons here in New York City.
Like, are you
and
kidding
book, like,
me?
Two rooms.
Yeah.
And for those people who are Trump supporters and who believe, like, oh, we, you know, we should have a stronger border or whatever you believe or believe he's really here for the middle class. Ugh. This is about big business. This is about the very few getting the very much. And, you know, I read on the front page of the Times today that Madoff is trying to get his sentence decreased. Mm-hmm. He has 150 years in prison coming, and he's asking Trump for that.
And he wants to be pardoned? Robert Madoff.
Yeah. And
this for our listeners,
well, he says he's sick and like wants compassion. Yeah,
right.
Release.
Yeah. For our listeners, this is a man who swindled like thousands of people out of all of their life savings and then was put into prison for the rest of his
like
life.
People committed suicide because of what he did.
Oh, yes. His son committed suicide because of the horror of what his father did. He has the blood of his son on his hands.
And he's friends with Donald Trump.
Of course.
Oh, of course he is.
And that's, you know, that's what we're dealing with here. Mm-hmm. So I think one of the things I really hope people see in this season two is that the money behind it all and the money that's driving it all.
And remember, this is your taxpayer money.
Mm-hmm. Like, I was about to say, we're paying for this, correct. Which is like
coming
the most infuriating
out of your
thing.
Pockets.
Yeah.
And instead of it going to schools mm-hmm. or to infrastructure mm-hmm. like better roads or, you know.
Definitely need in New
a
York.
A better subway.
Yeah, yes. I was about to say, we need
or
that.
Or daycare, like inexpensive daycare for families instead of all these nice good things or support for, you know, college. Yeah. You don't pay so much tuition.
For the elderly. State. Yeah.
Yeah. It's going to put to into the pockets of big business to detain.
Rich people are getting richer.
To detain migrants. So you're the head of an ICE facility, mm-hmm. and as your character, are you empathetic at all? Because you seem to have developed some empathy for your prisoners.
One of the things that happened this season is I do feel you do see a shift with Fig, and at first it's business as usual, and she's doing her job, and I think she's phoning it in a little bit, and then you definitely see a shift, and I don't... Not even about spoilers, but I just want you to enjoy the whole season of that journey of what happens. Having said that, she's still Fig.
And she's still not having an affair.
Yeah. And it's funny because there's this one scene where she can handle this. And she's probably moved by it, but, like, keeps it in. And there's this one scene that we did... that you'll see in a courtroom with children, and I lost it.
That is going to be really interesting to see.
As Fig or just even as yourself?
We had to stop shooting because it was like that ugly cry. Just imagining the circumstances.
Oh, so it wasn't as Fig. You couldn't let go as Fig.
No.
She's hard. She's tough.
She's tough. But you'll see, I promise, she has her, and it's, In the season, it's like two scenes before her choice to make a really big choice. So
do you
I'm trying
think
to do this
that,
without ruining it all for you?
Do you think that Fig is actually, you know, has a hardened heart, or is she kind of in this man's world trying to make it as a woman leader?
I think she's sort of damaged, isn't she? From her upbringing and her husband.
It's
who didn't
my
love her.
Hope, yeah. It's my hope that throughout this whole series with every character, you see these different layers of people. And over the fun of having 7 years is you get to just peel so many different onion skins. And though we never saw like Fig's backstory officially, we kind of we know so much about her husband. We know so much about her youth and that, you know, that Bruce Springsteen mm-hmm. incident.
Oh, right.
Which I was thinking, like, they probably wanted to do that flashback, but it would cost too much money, you right. know? Yeah. Like, so they just had me just describe it.
The listeners of what that is. She's at a Bruce Springsteen concert yeah, when and she he was like, pulls a he yeah, pulls
he
a girl.
Pulls Courtney Cox onto the stage yeah. and Courtney not her.
Cox, I remember that.
And she's certain that it wasn't just a music video and it wasn't like that Courtney Cox wasn't an actress. It should have been her. Yeah, it was
and,
pretty
but
hilarious.
Is she thinks she doesn't get pulled she up because she's not.
She's too fat.
Right.
And she also thinks, like, had she gotten pulled up, her life
would be different.
She would be Courtney Cox.
That is so
and
funny.
It's such an interesting, yeah. you know, that's the brilliance of Jenji Cohen and the writers on this show is.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
It's hilarious. And we all know that feeling of if yeah. I had just had that one opportunity, my entire life would be different.
Wow.
And it's her version of that one wrong choice that, you know,
Bruce.
Some people, yeah.
It's all your fault,
exactly.
Bruce.
Some people on the show, that one wrong choice was, you know, had to do with drugs or had to do with a gun. Mm-hmm. And for her, it's, you know, that one moment that, by the way, like, is made up. You know, and that's what's fascinating to me is we all write these stories in our heads that then limit us.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Now, what about her affair? Mm-hmm. Is her affair continuing?
Her affair with Caputo, you
yes.
mean? Well, yes and no. You'll see. There's some good stuff coming. Yeah.
Did you do anything in particular to say goodbye to Fig?
You burn know, her clothes, anything.
Thank God I may have I have a couple of keepsakes.
Okay.
In my wallet, I will forever carry one of her business cards.
Oh,
that's so funny. Yeah.
And I may have a couple of pairs of her shoes.
that you'll just wear around?
Yeah, exactly.
And of course she would have a business card
yeah.
because, you know, yeah. she's kind of craving that legitimacy.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm fully. So interested in what the energy on set was like too, just in this final season. I mean, did it feel like it differed from other seasons?
I would say most of the time, no. It was, you know, business as usual. Mm-hmm. But over the last episode, we were all a mess. Like, it was a mess.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
And what did, was there a party afterwards, like a big get-together after the final filming?
We definitely had a wrap party, and we danced until like 4 o'clock in the morning, and it was really fun. And then tonight we'll have our last premiere. I actually just posted pictures from our first premiere.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
Yeah.
So, you know, now that you've had this experience of being with a series for 7 years, is this something that you'd love to do again?
Absolutely. And I know, like, I'm trying to keep my expectations in an appropriate place because for me, being on 7 seasons of this show was so awesome and exciting. Because it was such groundbreaking storytelling. And that's my dream is another spectacular story to tell that like really makes people feel and makes people think and makes people change and change the way they see their world. And so that's my big dream. And to be able to do comedy and drama at the same time, like it checked so many boxes.
Yeah, it really did.
Yeah.
And I do think that something that is, you know, so interesting is that television and film really can change the public perception yeah. and can shape
yeah.
culture. And so I think you're absolutely right that the fact that Orange is the New Black gave this insight into women's prisons and the life inside, I mean, makes people think of things they've never thought before.
Yeah.
And I think this is why the Obamas have also are developing television shows,
yeah,
because, you know, we think about political campaigns and messaging, but TV shows and film can do the very same thing.
100%.
Well, and reach more different people.
Yeah.
Orange is the New Black, too, was like very revolutionary in its time originally when it first came out because of the representation of LGBTQ.
Yeah.
You know, that hadn't necessarily been done before. And it was one of Netflix's early shows that just took off.
Before Transparent, it was before Pose. It was really, you know, and our beloved Laverne Cox has become such a hero for that community.
Would you say that it is still, you know, in 2019, a revolutionary story? Or
I would, only because they've gone there with ICE. I'm so happy and proud to be part of art that goes there. And like nobody's gone there.
Yeah.
I can't think of any entertainment right now that's really talking about it.
Yeah.
But I don't think that we've ever really talked as much about ICE as we have in the last 2 years.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a new thing that ICE is part of the daily conversation. Now, you have a production company, don't you, where you focus on looking for projects. I don't know if it's both film and TV focus on women's roles, women's roles.
Yeah, I am. For my first movie, Equity, I had one production company called Broad Street, and that was just for that movie. And then on Egg, we made a new production company called Over Easy, because it was called Egg. And now I have a bunch of things in development, a couple of TV projects and a film project. So it's exciting. Yeah, and in all cases, strong female leads. And I'm really interested in women behind and in front of the camera.
Yeah.
Well, that's
so
great.
Important.
We're very focused on talent in behind and front of the camera as well. In both, because we do Emmys coverage and we focus on both. We do Oscars coverage, focus on both, and we've got another project as well. Do you feel that the opportunities have improved substantially for women, both in front and behind the camera?
I really do. I think more, I kind of want to say more behind the camera, but I do feel in front of the camera too. You know, you look at an Orange is the New Black where there is a female-driven cast with so many spectacular women and so many, such a diversity of human that we had never seen before, both in reference to, obviously, the LGBTQ community, on a racial and even on a religious level, you know, like the fact that we had a storyline about a woman, an African-American woman, deciding to become Jewish, you know.
Yeah.
And we also, like, the ages of
the characters. Yeah, that's right.
You know, like, it was not... We had a lot of women in their 60s, that first season. Rosa, you know, like, it was incredible. So it's been really awesome, and I hope that continues for sure.
Yeah, I would say definitely behind the camera, too, that there's just been so many more women's writers, women, you know, directors, producers.
Because still not enough.
Like, still,
we still
no.
need
we're
to
not
open
at
the doors.
50-50.
No, we are nowhere near that.
Until we are, we got to keep
fighting. So you were very busy tweeting during the Robert Mueller hearings in Congress yesterday.
Yeah.
And you're very much about... like want impeachment inquiry.
I do. And
tell us why.
For me, the way our government was constructed, the rules of our government are that when a sitting president does something like our current president has done, the next action is to impeach them. Our current administration has done multiple illegal things. Our president has broken the law over and over again. I think to pause and go, well, how will this affect our election is not the point. The point is we can't think about that. We just have to say this is not okay. And we refuse to say it's okay. Because to me, every day that we don't impeach him, we're saying it's okay. What you're doing is okay. And that's like, I don't want to play the political game of this, of like, well, will it help the election or not?
Right. Because that is,
you know,
is clearly,
what will people think?
That's clearly Nancy Pelosi's concern.
Well, that's what I was going to say.
I get the concern. I really do. I understand that concern, although it's not actually historically accurate.
Right.
I get her concern. I just feel deeply that we have to do it, because on a sort of moral and ethical level, to say your behavior is not okay.
Right.
Right. You can't be above the law.
Yeah.
And the thing is, I mean, it is like a child.
Yeah.
Like if you have your own child and they break your rules, like they do bad things.
Correct.
If you do not punish them, then they continue.
They'll continue to
do it.
There have been no repercussions. There have been no
He's emboldened.
Consequences. Yeah.
He's he truly acts above the law.
Yeah.
But the thing is that his followers and his, you know, fans.
Cult members.
They don't care.
They don't
care at all. He can do anything. He could shoot someone on the street.
Well, he said that.
He did.
But I almost think he could.
No. Yeah. He could. He definitely could. He's sexually harassed, allegedly, so many people.
Countless women.
He's got a rape accusation.
Yeah. Right.
From a very credible woman.
And he's a racist. Like, let's just call it. If we're all going to call it out, we'll call it. So there's... His behavior is deeply inappropriate for someone, for anyone, but particularly a sitting president.
Yeah, someone running our country.
Yeah, and I completely see your point that if this is okay, then the next president can go even further.
Right.
Or, I mean, if he gets reelected, I think just forget about it.
But
he
also, one thing for me personally, is I'm noticing that people in my world and in the people I meet, be they friends, family, or strangers, feel their relationship to the truth is a little bit more fuzzy.
Yeah.
And that is what disturbs me the most.
Yeah.
Because I think even good people, good Democrats, people's relationship to truth and honesty is fuzzier than I've ever experienced in my entire life. And I think that's the danger, is when you have a leader who says the truth doesn't matter.
Honesty, or the truth is my truth, whatever I say.
Then everybody, what I've noticed on a psychological level is everyone, including people who hate that person, feel like, well, F it, you know?
And they question.
Then I don't need to be honest either.
Right.
That's really interesting.
There's like a rejection of it. That's so disturbing to me.
Yeah.
And I guess, you know, for myself, I can't tell anyone else what to do, but for myself, my connection to my own integrity and honesty and living my life in according to my beliefs is more important than it ever has been. Mm-hmm.
Does it concern you that even if an impeachment inquiry and actions are undertaken, it won't get anywhere because, of course, the Senate's controlled by Mitch McConnell and the Republicans, so he'll never actually get impeached. They would have all the hearings.
Right.
And he would end up getting, I don't know, censured by the House or voted on by the House. But does that bother you that the finality will not happen?
No, only because we never know. You know, like you can't know that until it goes through. And I'm an eternal optimist. So I'm like, we won't know unless we do it. you know? So, and I do feel like perhaps Nancy Pelosi is talking to the Senate and seeing, is there anyone who would possibly come over?
Like on this, on the Republican side. Well, doesn't seem very hopeful to me, but I think that all these points that you're making are really excellent points. And I think that, you know, all our readers, our listeners have to think about this. Like, is it okay to have the person who actually swears to uphold the law and the Constitution to break the law? And I mean, there's no question he broke the law. And it is the truth. Broke the law.
Here's the thing for me, which is when we have a society based on dishonesty.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Nobody can trust each other.
No, that's right.
You can't and without trust, it's a sad, sad place to live.
Well, that's what happened in communist Russia. That's what is going on in communist China. Mm-hmm. That's what in North Korea. Like, you can't even trust your own family members. Mm-hmm. And is that the way we want to live? I mean, it really has. I agree with you. It has huge repercussions. Do we want to live in a society where there is no truth? I mean, everybody should read 1984.
I was just thinking that when you said that. You said truth, scary. And I said, truth speak, yeah.
Yeah, read 1984 and ask yourselves, is that the society you want to live in where there is no truth? Where it's all, it's recreated constantly depending on the whims or needs of the leaders. So, I mean, these are huge issues. Maybe your next project will involve this.
We'll see. I would, you know, it's important storytelling. I don't know if I'm the person to do it. Like, I don't know if I'm smart enough. Not really.
You but are. Like, oh my gosh, you're so smart.
I don't know what the way in is. That's what brilliant writers and directors do, is like, what's the way into that?
Well, maybe
story?
It's time to have a TV series on 1984. Yeah. It was a movie years and years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, I mean, it would be the time. Yeah. I mean, look at Handmaid's Tale.
Totally.
Yeah. That's a society also where you can't trust anybody. Well, listen, these are fascinating issues, and you are doing great work to help people in this country who need it very much. And so, number one, everybody needs to get on to Netflix and start watching the new season of Orange is the New Black. It's the final season, and it drops midnight on Thursday, July 25th. So it will have dropped by the time you hear this. And check out what Fig is doing this season. And everybody, kind.org is a great organization if you want to help refugees and migrants at the border, and also the San Diego,
the Jewish Family Services of San Diego. Another great one is obviously Keep Families Together. And my favorite right now, who I went to the border with, is This Is About Humanity. And if you go to their site, they actually have this beautiful candle that you can buy, and all of the proceeds go to helping people on the border.
And everybody follow
please.
Alicia Reiner on her Twitter feed, which is a fascinating Twitter feed, and on her Instagram.
Yeah, definitely. On Instagram you can see pictures from the premiere of in 2013.
That's crazy. And you look exactly the same.
Oh, bless.
And also there's great, you've got great videos that also show the whole seven seasons, or well, six seasons until now.
Yeah.
There's a good
5-minute wrap up.
Yeah, they're really good.
Yeah.
Love it.
Okay, well, thank you so much for coming in. And come back and talk to us again.
Yay.
Bye. Thanks.